today is Monday, January the 20th, 20th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon on his day off, the bank dude, Mr. Dalby. Hey, guy.
Brian, always a pleasure to see you. You bring a smile to my face.
Apparently, the candy is kicking in already. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad you took two handfuls. Might make it through the whole show this afternoon. Today, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about different security measures that are done and those that are recommended. Certainly, the financial institutions have got a certain standard of security. Identity theft is something that's a significant thing. I think a lot of us, particularly around tax time, as we're starting to put our stuff together, well, do I keep this? Do I throw that away? Do I grind it? Do I burn it? Eh, it doesn't matter, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll talk a little bit about, on the business side, measures for security and some of the thoughts behind it, as well as on the personal side, some measures, not personal security, information security. Safe?
Well, I will look forward to that conversation and hearing all about it.
Well, dandy do. We'll find out how it plays when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's, double clocks, gotta love that. 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Duke Ellington. I know you want a musical quote.
Yes, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah. Well, you read it and then you just... This is a better quote, though. We aren't worried about posterity. We want it to sound good right now. Yeah, no kidding. On so many levels, that makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
I was passing through the lobby a couple days ago, right close to closing time, and one of the folks was running around with a box and collecting pieces of paper.
Shred.
And that's where it ended up. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, it was probably your favorite Disney movie, too, right?
Yeah. Shred.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring out your shred.
Yeah. I still like Donkey, however. Sorry.
There you go.
And so it was kind of explained, because, of course, I can't let anything go by without asking questions about it. Okay, how many other businesses, how many other niches in business should be as concerned, should be going through their version of that process daily, hourly, weekly, whatever the cycle happens to be, to protect whatever it is that needs to be protected that you wouldn't want to have in somebody else's hands. Mm-hmm. And I guess the rule of thumb is in your competitor's hand is kind of the demarcation, or in a criminal's hand. Might be another one.
Well, for us, it's any hand, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Even mine.
Even yours.
So what, I guess let's start with the onerous part. What do you have to do in the financial community for protection of information?
Well, we do. It's very, very important. I mean, confidentiality. We have a lot of people's personal records and information on file. Both electronically and in paper. So it's very, very important that we protect that information. So what you experienced with our shred is as we discard pieces of paper, oftentimes those pieces of paper have important pieces of information on them. Could be anything as little as a customer's name on it is too much. So
So it doesn't have to have numbers.
No, we don't even want names on there. So,
what gets thrown away other than empty envelopes? Just regular throwaway.
That's about it.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Or, you know, garbage wrappers, you know, that sort of thing would go into
candy
the garbage.
Wrappers. Okay, candy wrappers, that explains that big garbage can upstairs. Okay,
And then of course we have a recycle bin upstairs, you know, for bottles and so forth. But any paper that has anything as little as a name on it would then go into shred. We use a local company, Shred Tech. They do a great job for us. They bring us bins. The bins are locked, and you can slide the shred into them. We have keys so we can open them and dump them, but that way if somebody goes by the bins, they can't get into them. And then those are then taken and securely shred so that that information is lost forever. And then, for instance, I even have a shredder under my desk, so if it's really confidential stuff, I actually shred it before it goes in the shredder. Department of Redundancy Department.
No, that was one of the questions I was going to ask. You've got different shredding machines also. You go to pick your office product store, and you got the ones that go straight, you got the ones that go angle, you got the ones that go both ways, mm-hmm. You've got down to the nano, you've got, well, we'll just cut the piece of paper in half. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of degrees of shredding, and certainly not all of us are in the medical arena, mm-hmm. financial arena that need it to the extent that you guys are legally bound to. Do a lot of folks just not think about that?
Well, we do. We even test it. And so what you saw was it was close to closing time, and they were taking their boxes from under their desks of shred and taking it to the bins. We don't want shred sitting in a box overnight, you know, in an open box, because, you know, we have janitors and other people that come through the building. So we want that securely locked up before anybody.
Well, there's a risk if it just sits there. Yeah.
And in fact, I have in my office, the way I handle it is I have a big giant drawer that is my shred bin. And at night, I lock my credenza so that my shred is actually locked up. It's not sitting under my desk. Because I don't know about you, but every once in a while I go, oh, I still need that. And I'll dig through my shred.
Really? I have that one with email.
and then when we have our systems testing, because we actually have vulnerability testing in which we hire a company to come in and try and get into our to get in electronically, but they also...
Required legally?
We do it. Yes, we're required to test it on a regular basis, which we'll talk about more later.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, before the break, you were talking about your secret stash of shredded material.
Yes.
That probably isn't worth breaking in to find, yeah, right?
No, it's not.
Okay, it's not that kind of secret.
But, you know, it's very important that, you know, things remain confidential. And if you have, and I'm talking about all businesses,
you have
client records and so forth, the last thing you want is those things distributed, because, you know, if you throw them in the garbage can gets dumped over in the alley.
Blowing in the parking lot, yeah.
You have your customer information, you know, laying out there. So, you know, I find shred is very important, but we also do vulnerability testing to make sure that nobody can ping into our system.
Do what?
Ping in, well, they send out pings. This is a
like sonar,
something like that.
Submarine.
you know, I'm not, I don't know much about the whole computer thing, but one of the things that hackers do is they send out pings to try and find a phone line that is connected to a modem, and then they try and get in through the modem. And so we monitor how many times our system gets pinged and, you know, our firewalls. And we actually hire people to try and hack in.
Kind of like Bart used to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, try to beat the system.
And so part of that also is, and this is one you have to be very careful and talk to your staffs about, is you know, the social part of that. And what I mean by is, you know, people picking up, you know, calling in and asking questions that would get you or your employees to develop, to give them information that they would not otherwise have. So we even had one group go to one of our branches and ask to go into the modem room because they were hired and they used the names of our IT people to go in and do some work. Well, you don't let them in. Until you verified who they are.
Call your IT guy.
Exactly. So you call, yeah. and they even went to the point. This was great. So they're on the monitors watching to see what's going to happen. And so
your guys.
Our IT guys are.
Okay.
And so then, of course, the branch starts calling to get verification to let them in where they won't answer the phones. and they wouldn't let them in, which was the right thing to do. People come in posed as a telephone guy.
You've seen an awful lot of movies,
oh,
I
yeah.
sense.
So
yes.
Those are things that we watch, and part of that is...
how long did you let it go on?
I don't remember. I wasn't there. I just heard about it.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was probably a good 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah.
Not over it.
Long enough to make it uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah. 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 So for regular guy business, the threshold isn't going to be... there, where you guys are. It's not like HIPAA laws, where there's medical information that can't be shared and that there's a standard associated with that. So if you pull those two industries out, what should we be considering? What is information that we might want to consider spending a couple hundred bucks getting a machine, tying into one of the services, that kind of stuff?
Well, the biggest issue that most businesses have is with credit cards and the vulnerabilities there. And it can be anything from having an employee that's taking in a credit card information, writing it down before they return the card to the customer. There's a lot of
maliciously
things.
Maliciously or?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because you can sell that information. All the way to the credit card company that you use to do to process your merchant services, do they have the proper controls in place that they're not capturing the data like we just had that with Target? And I don't know the details of how those hackers got 40 million credit card numbers. I don't know how they did it, but obviously the company was. Probably had to do with a third-party vendor when we all, drill down on it. But, it all has to do with not having the proper controls in place.
So this isn't just destroying the copies of the receipts with the credit card information on it.
Well, there aren't any of those anymore. The knuckle busters are gone.
Unless you use the old ones.
Correct.
You know, if the computer system goes down.
And you pull out the old knuckle buster.
Yeah, and grind it through. So you've got that as a concern. Electronically, how do you?
Well, what we've seen happen, is somebody uses a merchant service, and they said they're taking their cards. Well, somebody hacks into that merchant service vendor.
Everybody's
takes everybody's cards, including your customers. That's an issue. So the question then becomes, how do you know who to use merchant services? So when you're selecting merchant services, one thing you want to talk to them about is security.
What about with the iPhones? You got the little slider dealy that you can buy. Is that as secure as your normal is, or because it's being transmitted electronically rather than through phone lines, is there a window of opportunity if somebody really knows what they're doing?
I am not an expert, and so for me to answer that question would be irresponsible.
I'm waiting for a head nod from the office. No? He's not paying attention. Okay, fine.
But anytime you give somebody your credit card and credit card information, you're creating an exposure. And if it's in
don't be exposing yourself in public.
Right. Okay. And if it's in a little handheld device, well, that information very well may now reside in that
inside
handheld
that. Yeah, don't lose device, your phones. Right. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby.
Okay, let me work now that you've broken the microphone.
Yeah, somebody's been dorking around with the mic stand again. Security is something of concern, obviously, John, because if anybody has gone through it themselves, once you get past the violation, then there's the hassle. And then the exposure and the cleanup and the time and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're coming into the period of time that Macaulay likes to think is profit center.
Yeah.
But for most of us, we see
tax
it as
time is what you're
tax
referring to.
Return time, yes. There are certain items that are transported through the mail that contain anywhere from critical to vital information also.
Mm-hmm.
Let's presume it gets to our doorstep intact. Do we tend to be lazy about that kind of information around the house or the storage of them or the records of them or how we handle information that comes through to the house also?
Well, it's a really good question. Where do you store your tax returns, your past tax returns and tax data? Because if that information is available, you know, if I can walk in, open a drawer and grab it, or if it's in a box in your garage, marked tax returns.
Oh, fine. You saw it. Thanks.
Gee, what's on the front page of your tax return? Your name, your address, your Social Security number, pretty much everything you need for identity theft. So, yeah, think twice about where you store that data.
Do you need to?
You know, I would consult with your tax advisor as to how long you need to retain your records.
Well, like bank information. Okay, you guys send, if people are so inclined, the paperwork is out. Okay, and it's got whatever the information is on it. Is that a reason not to have it on paper and to only have it electronically?
Well, more and more people are receiving, as I do now, I receive my statements electronically, my bank statements. So I don't even have a paper copy of those anymore. And if I were to be audited, then I would go to the bank. I've got connections there. And have them produce the statements for me.
So you don't keep the electronic stuff?
I no longer keep them, no.
Okay. But there are certain things that you do have hard copies of. Is it real simple? And just say safe deposit box?
I keep them in a locked drawer. I keep all my tax.
You don't lose keys, do you? These are three references to keys so far that are different keys. Yeah. See, I would label the key, hang it on the wall so I knew where it was and not lose it. So, yeah. For the vulnerability testing that you do at the shop, does it make sense for small guys to do that also once we move on beyond the credit card?
Well, first of all, you got to look at
HR records is what I'm thinking.
What's the data that resides on systems that is available to the outside world? So, for instance, if your HR data resides on a computer that's not connected to the internet, well, it's not vulnerable. But if it is, there may be a way to get into that machine remotely. And again, this is not an area of expertise. I hire people to to do that work
right.
for me.
But when you're talking to business operators, you know, I don't know. It seems like either you are really strong with HR stuff, personnel, or you blow it off.
Well, it's,
there's very few people reside in that range, in the 10 scale from the 2 to the 8. Either you're way out or you're way out.
How would you like to explain to your employees that all of their data has been compromised and somebody has your Social Security number, your name, your address, and your earnings records?
Going back 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. Now has that information, and what are you going to do about it? I mean, that would be very, very embarrassing. So, yes, this is important that that information be secure. And if you're using a third-party vendor to do your payroll, now you should be asking the questions what they do to ensure the security of your information, because they have all of your employee data.
Go a couple layers deep into the onion.
That's correct.
Instead of just skipping the surface.
A lot of times we don't think about going, you know, okay, so-and-so's doing my payroll. Well, I ought to have some assurance that so-and-so is taking the steps to make sure that my payroll data is secure and is not going to be compromised.
I wouldn't imagine, in addition to the embarrassment, that the legal exposure is any less if it's somebody else outside of the business handling it.
You know, I just can't imagine having that problem with your employees and then saying, oh, by the way, now that your credit's ruined.
that extra $100,000 loan that somebody took out for you.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me a bunch of small businesses, and I guess this is kind of in keeping with the series we're doing this month, don't pay attention to some of the business side of business. When you're talking to folks that are operators and owners, do you get the sense that a lot of times we don't? We're selling widgets, we're making widgets. We're not thinking about the day-to-day business elements of being in business.
Now, when you say the business, I'm not sure.
I'm in the ice cream specific? Business, right? Okay. So I'm making all the sundaes and all that kind of stuff in the world in the retail side. Oh, I don't have to worry about balancing the books today. I don't have to worry about, you know, doing the books for today's business. Yeah. Ordering, well, I'll get around to that one tomorrow morning. I got customers in front of me. In getting wrapped up in things that are important, but ignoring some of the other things that are just as important.
Yeah, and we've talked about these topics before, and that is, you know, how do you manage, what information do you use, and how important is that information? For instance, you know, do I manage by my checkbook? Meaning, okay, if I have money in the bank, I'm happy. If I don't have money in the bank, I'm panicked, and I'm doing something to try and fix that. There are some pros and cons to to managing that way. But certainly the value of information is, you know, a financial statement is not just so that to make the bank happy or your tax consultant happy, but it's in a very, very powerful management tool as you look at your financial records to determine, okay, what's worked in the past, what little things could I do that would make a big difference?
You're leveraging things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of these things are very, very important. But I also recognize there's a cost both in time and monetarily in producing some of these records and maintaining them appropriately. So, you know, there's a balance there, and everybody's going to have a different approach to it.
You don't do it just to do it. Do it if you want to use it.
You know,
yeah.
Certainly I would say, you know, there are certain things you have to do, you know, and when it comes to payroll, because you don't want to go to jail.
yeah, taking the taxes out, paying the payroll taxes.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, all these things are very, very important. You know, you want to keep your financial records, at least so that you're not fraudulently filing tax returns. But hopefully you're keeping financial records and looking at them as a management tool.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, Mr. Dolby. John, if somebody is having one of those uh-oh moments in the last half hour, where do you start? Where do you start if record confidentiality, if confidentiality, if, you know, I just don't have that much at the end of the month that I thought that I would have because of what I feel coming through the front door. And there may be just simple fraud in the equation. Where do you start to put in things so that it stops? But if there's somebody being a little squirrely about it, you're not putting them on notice. And you kind of start making the target a little bit more difficult to be achieved.
Over the course of my career, I've noticed, my observation is, most of the time when there's an embezzlement, and that's where you need to control and make sure that you're avoiding embezzlement, and because sometimes they're big dollar amounts, and I've seen some businesses really hurt by embezzlement. It's generally because there's somebody in your business that you really, really trust, and they're writing the checks, and they're reconciling the bank statements. You need to be looking at the bank statements yourself. It's something that if you own the business, you need to be paying some attention to where the money's going and looking at the checks that are being written and asking the question, you know, why is that number unusual? For instance, you know, common thing is, you know, the PG&E bill comes in. So the bookkeeper writes a check for more than the bill is, because it also includes their personal bill, which they attach to the back of the check also. So they send one check in and pay your PG&E bill and theirs also. So when you look at the register, it says PG&E bill. Well, why is it higher than it normally is? Or
if it's been happening long enough, it doesn't stand out as being higher than.
Correct. So, so every once in a while you got to look and see, okay, it says we paid, you know, $1,700 for the PG&E bill.
Bless you, my son.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let me see the actual invoice. Let me see the bill. So take a look at those things.
Separation of duties.
Right. And we find that some of these embezzlements are hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, over, you know, a couple year period of time. And, you know, what could your business do if it still had, you know, $100,000?
Yeah, what windfall would that allow you?
Exactly. Where would you be financially if you had received an additional $100,000 instead of it being embezzled? So,
funny, we were talking about that coming down the mountain today. I know exactly where that would go.
So anyway, that's probably the most common thing that we see.
And just kind of pay attention and every once in a while do something different. Spot check this, mm-hmm. spot check that, show up at a different time.
And, you know, again, look at your bank statements and ask questions.
What if you have a surprisingly amount of shrinkage? I know it's not fair with 20 seconds to go. Is that something that can be monitored rather easily also?
Best done with a POS system, point of sale system to monitor shrinkage. But that is a challenge for all entrepreneurs.
Thanks for coming by.
Always good to see you, Brian.
Leave that pencil at the door, will you? Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.